Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening. It's Thursday night, and this is The Consciousness Shift with Gwendolyn Berry and Nicole Tomasini. Nick, you're in New York tonight. How is the weather up there? I mean, I mean that sincerely. It seems like there's lots of bad dust up of cold going around.
Yeah, a little brisk, that's for sure. Getting into the teens.
Oh, okay. You know, they said that night before last it was 30 below in Colorado. I was like, wow, that is a little, that's a titch cold. I thought, boy.
Wow. I can't even imagine what that feels like.
I've been in really, really cold weather in Massachusetts and up in Maine when I was in school a couple of times where the wind chill factor during the storm got way below zero, like 40 below, you know? And if you go outside when that's happening, even just to walk over and get wood and bring it back in for the, get this, we were only being heated by a wood-burning stove, but it was great. Go out and put it in by the time, and mind you, this took maybe a minute and a half, 2 minutes to do. By the time I got back in, all my eyelashes, my nose hair, my eyebrows, everything was frozen. Frozen.
Crazy.
It was just frozen. God. Really, really bad. And how is your week going, metaphysically speaking?
Yeah, not bad. It feels like there's a moving forward, and even with these energies that have been, I can feel them. I still kind of get headaches sometimes, and they definitely feel metaphysical in nature. So, but it seems a little bit easier to dance with it. I'll say that. How about you?
Well, I'm just, it feels kind of like to me for the last few months, and maybe it's been this whole year, that it's like a roller coaster ride. It's up and down. And that's why I've begun to be paying so much attention to the astrological forecast, finding out where the geocentrically where we are. In other words, Earth is being affected by and I was listening, of course, to the Paley Report, and that's why I'm being so talkative about it. But it seems as though we are going through these roller coasters of emotions because the Earth is going through this roller coaster of emotion and change with the climate change that we're challenged by right now. It's, and also folks should understand, it's not just the planet Earth, but this whole solar system, all of the planets are having climate change style weather indigenous to the planet going on it. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's where you have to look at the planets these days. I think you're really missing out on a forecast of what's happening and can find a lot of explanations because of all of this change that's happening not only on our planet but all around us in every direction that we know of.
Well, that's the movement. The planet the signature planet of the New Age, Uranus, the Aquarian planet, has been retrograde since July, and it's going direct on Tuesday this week. And that tells us a lot. I would suggest to anyone who's interested in finding out, it really does pay, if you're sensitive at all, to go ahead and listen in. And I'm talking about Tom Lesher. You can find him on YouTube. He has a channel. It's just Tom Lesher, L-E-S-C-H-E-R. He does what he calls the Paley Report. And you can also find his his website, which is, oh my goodness, what is that called?
Paradigm something or other?
Yeah, New Paradigm Astrology. Thank you. Thank you,
no
Cole. But he does an excellent job. And he talks for about, anywhere from 13 to 19 or 20 minutes. And he gives you a weekly report that gives you a heads up on what's going on. And this last one, he spoke about Uranus going direct and the fundamental good that it brings. But he also spoke about the shifts and changes and all the astrological influences that will be going on in the next few weeks through the new year. And he's like doing that duck and cover thing again. I'd watch. All right. So it's like there are a lot of influences that are conspiring, which is really strange because, you know, if we were on natural time, this would not, it would not seem so ominous. But we're on the Georgian time still, which is a made-up or a phony time. And it's not, in other words, by made-up time, I mean exactly that the time schedule we're on is all about banking and profiting and living under a plastic umbrella that isn't true, where natural time and harmony with the planet would be a 13-moon calendar. And I'm not espousing one group over another or anything. I'm just saying I'm espousing the Earth Mother over industry and profiteering. And does that sound right to you?
Absolutely. I feel the same way about this whole daylight savings business. I really kind of think it's just here to fuck with us these days, because what's the point? You have to shift your whole thing. It makes perfect sense.
I like daylight savings. I don't like being in the dark for so long, but the Earth Mother puts us there naturally. It's just that we change the time so that, you know, it goes dark really quick. People are working in the dark, going to work, coming home in the dark, and that's so not nice. You know, that gives people anxiety. In what we call civilization right now, it really does. It gives people anxiety. I put it out there that we're doing a, I'm sorry. Did you want to say something to that? I'm sorry, Nick.
No. Go on.
We do have a caller online, and I want the caller to know I'm aware they're there. It's local to me, too. We are going to start a series tonight, and it may not be, we might have guest shows in between, but what we're going to do here is a series on the light body, and tonight presenting the overview of what the light body is, talking about describing it and the chakra vortex system that is connective to it. And the physical body, the subtle body, the entire light body that exists as our conduit between light force and not. And it's a series of shows that we're going to begin tonight. Tonight's the overview. And what I'm trying to get to here is that I have put it out there. If you have questions, you want to call in, we're going to be answering the phones during that.
Cool. I'm excited to talk about this topic very much. I've heard a lot about the light body, like from my father. That was where I heard about it first, but I haven't talked about it in quite some time. So I'm really looking forward to hearing your info.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people see the think of the light body. There's a lot of different names for it. I mean, and the auric field that the chakras exist in. People have noted it for all the time humanity has been, you know, noting with art and through the different religions, you know, the halo around a saint. And just recently, I mean, there's many different descriptions of light, but some people call it a Merkaba body. You know, have you heard that?
Mm-hmm.
Merkaba is a geometric design that can be used bringing both pyramids together to connect the physical with the non-physical, even though they're already connected. When you work with that kind of a dynamic, and we'll talk about that, how to work with the Merkaba energy, bringing it together and awakening your light body. When you're working with that, it's just an exercise that helps you to connect up and begin to bring to your conscious thoughts or your conscious awareness everything that your light body is capable of giving you as far as information and feeling, emotion, mental clarity to, there's just all kinds of different tasks that the light body performs that if you're aware of it, you benefit by. And we're going to talk about that. And tonight we're going to do an overview or description of it, and then we're going to begin working with from the body on up in more detail. And we'll talk about the tools you can use to help you get acquainted and begin working with, like, balancing your chakras, everything from chakra balancing and awakening to your chakras, which are little vortexes that are filters, basically, that are challenged by your different thoughts and emotions. So I'll count on you to help me be clear about it.
Sure. Yeah, makes perfect sense. That's great.
Okay, so I'm going to open up and see if somebody has a question right off. We're going to take
cool.
This is the 954 number. Hello, caller.
Hey, how you doing?
Hi.
How you doing? I'm just listening in. I'm just you know, I saw light body, so
okay.
I'd like to
okay.
get a better understanding.
Certainly. Okay, I'm gonna mute you and allow you use the chat room if you want me to open your mic back up. And who am I talking to?
David out in Florida.
Okay, David. Yeah, you're near me. I'm South Florida, too. Okay, David, I'll mute you. We'll go back to descriptions.
Great.
Cool.
There we go. Okay. There we go. I wish Blog Talk would get their act together. You know, just a little quirks here and there. So the overview. I'll tell you what, one thing that if you're really interested in knowing, you can go online, you'll get so much different information about it, but overall, there is a basic structure, and I came upon it when I began to read a book by Dr. Richard Gerber, who is one of the fathers of energy medicine out there on the West Coast, and it's called Vibrational Medicine, the name of the book. It was published in the 80s by Bear & Company. Have you ever heard of the book, Nick?
I haven't heard of the book, but I've heard of the man.
He did this excellent, what he did with vibrational medicine, all that studying I did in school about parapsychology and the different, you know, in psi studies, they do study the bodies of consciousness, and he basically put it cohesively together in this book, which he has edited, re-edited, and reissued about, sorry about the horn, I live in the hood. What do you call it? I think he's done three different reissues. But the basic structure that he gives is absolutely wonderful. And there are four bodies of consciousness, connective, and there is the different chakras. And now people talk about the 12 chakras, but we're going to stick with the first seven chakras and maybe include an eighth there to be really simple and to let people know how everything connects up. So you have these four bodies of consciousness connective to the chakra system and the nadi or nadius light system, which is thousands and thousands of gossamer threads, which are pulsing life force energy into our bodies through our different meridians and into all of our vital organs. And those nadius, all those nadius that are connective to those upper four bodies of consciousness that come into our physical body through our meridians, and that life force is called chi or gi or ki. All of this happens through a filtering system, little vortexes that we call chakras. Am I being really clear? I'm not looking to you to sort of steer me along here, Nick.
Yeah, definitely clear. I mean, working with Tai Chi, I do know about the Chi, and it really is an amazing thing that with Tai Chi, there's eight, they call them Cs, which are sort of strong energy points depending on where you, and it all has to do with the wrist, the shoulder, and the elbow. And so the way you put your hand is, and one side is strong, so you hit or block with that side, and then the other side is not strong. So you're always directing with your chi with these different chis.
Yeah, chi is just universal life force energy, which is what spirals through the universe. And I think that basically if we were going to call a beginning or big bang would be that burst of chi. To me, I just think of it as the first conscious thought. A lot of people call that God. But chi, life force energy, is actually light. It is light that is multidimensional. It's not seen through the naked eye, but it is there, and we're learning more and more how to photograph it and how to bring a tangible quality to understanding it. And acupuncturists, and you were talking about weak and strong, but basically it's more productive with an overview to talk about receptive and projective energy coming into the body and going out of the body. And that can switch. Oftentimes, people learn to work with gemstones and minerals and, you know, for healing work or meditation work by working with bringing light energy into their hands, receptive hand being the left hand if you're a right-handed person, and the projective hand being your right hand if you're a right-handed person. Now, a healer who's working with a healing crystal may be using your right hand to direct energy. So that's a projective energy, and they're doing it with a visualization of light coming into them. And they might be allowing that light to come into their receptive left hand, or they might be opening their crown chakra and allowing it to come down that way. This is all done through creative visualization. Nick, am I being clear? Is this good?
Yeah, totally. It's exactly what I was saying. It is a visualization. When you know these different C's, you can feel it's the same thing as using the left as being receptive and the right as giving. You know that your energy is right there, and you can feel it. You can channel down that energy, and it's right there, like you said, the God force, that you can direct everything the way that you want it to go. And you're very conscious with this training of where the energies are. I probably shouldn't have said the other side is weak. It probably is, you know, the one that can take it,
it's,
and then it gets
polarity.
Released out of the other side.
Nick, it's all polarity, and you can
right.
use strong, positive, negative, plus, minus, black, white, yin, yang. You
right.
can use all of those terms applicably true. Basically, and anyone, and I know, Christine, that you're in there talking in the chat room for me to focus. I'm not paying attention right now. I'm just going through. If you have something you want to share, please call in. That's what we're doing with all of this. But for me to focus, I have to keep directing, you know, my focus on explaining this in overview. And
mm-hmm.
so I just don't want anybody to think I'm not paying attention to them right now. So the overview here is how and where this universal life force energy begins, or where it begins as far as we're concerned. And the light body construction begins, if you, in your mind's eye, can see. And I usually have, you know, one of those ink boards or chalkboard that I can draw on. So I'm going to have to explain this with, you know, just describing. And so if you can think of up on high, we're going to talk about the bodies of consciousness first, because they are the construct of the light body from the beginning, the top down. Do I make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have the causal light body, which many people feel is, and I do, the seat of the soul, or that part of us that connects us with all that is, and that is the residence of every life we've lived. Making sense? And this is all until we get to the causal, body of consciousness. And explaining it fuller, that's as far as I'm going to go. Do you think I've done an anchor there?
Yeah. What's the causal body?
It is the top down. It is the first body of it's the fourth body of consciousness. Hey.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I had to correct my dog. Okay, so let me explain it this way. First, we're going to talk about the causal body of consciousness, which is the fourth body of consciousness, and the highest, or the connective to all that is, the residence of our soul and the depository of every lifetime. You follow? And then
mm-hmm.
we come down to the mental body of consciousness.
Okay.
This is a very creative body. This is where we think. This is where all of the functions of our thoughts go through, and it's connective, as they all are, on high, but closer to the causal body of consciousness. And it's an intimate connection with, like, our third eye chakra that is observing absolutely everything that is going on around us that we don't consciously see but take in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then we come down to the third body of consciousness, which is our astral body, and that's our vehicle for travel and for healing and for journey work and meditation. Making sense there?
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our etheric body of consciousness, which is sort of this gossamer velvet body we slip on over the physical body, which is the living library of the life we are living, connected to all lives we have lived in the past and everything that is connected to us that is accessible so close to us. This is the place, the etheric body, is where healing goes on. It's where the chakras reside. It's where the auric field is emanating. It is also the place where a a clairvoyant or clairaudient or reading person will tap into to find information about you during a reading. Making sense?
Yeah, it sounds like the place you go without time. Like you can go to any time, it sounds very fourth dimensional.
Well, I would say that it's multidimensional. I wouldn't put
multi.
It in.
There you go.
Fourth dimensional, most assuredly the astral body. That's a fourth dimensional. Astral body is where you can get in all kinds of trouble and you can have all kinds of fun. It's where our thoughts are actually taking place, but the mental body, which is above it, is actually guiding a lot of that process. When we tap into our mental body of consciousness, we are actually getting into a place where we're coming closer to our highest self. When you say highest self, I have a question for you, Nick. When you say highest self, what do you think that is? What do you think it is?
I think it is, there's like a stream from me on all the way to the one source, the God. So it depends on which space you're talking. My highest self is like my God self that is, you know, one of the strands that's going towards God. But then there's closer to me, the one that I can understand a little more, that voice, that inner voice that tells me, that knowing voice. That's what I would say. Does that answer make sense?
Okay. Well, basically, where do you put, do you think in terms of a seat of the self on all conscious levels and multiverse awareness as your highest self?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay. Would soul fit there?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That was what I was looking for. So causal light body. You could call that soul. Causal light body is the God, goddess, divinity of the self.
The core, I see. That's what I think of the soul.
It's the captain of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Or capitan, you know? And I'm not saying that in the male or the female, because In all honesty, I think the soul probably is more Palladian, as they say, and I make a little joke there, without gender, but with all divinity. But let's just say it's the soul because it's simple and people understand that. We're talking about the overview. So you have that seat of the self, the soul, and the next one down is the mental body of consciousness, where our thought processes find their illumination. Okay, so the mental body is the place where we develop our brilliance. This is where our genius lies. We may access the mental body, you never know when, but we do it. People do it. But it's absolutely It's that place where our brilliance resides. The mental body is that special place where all of the thought processes that we have coalesce, and what's returned to us from the mental bodies, that sieve, is the pure stuff, the good stuff. It's like your dreams. Does it, you know, your, in other words, your dream arriving?
Perhaps I should make a description
of it for folks so that they understand. Well, I don't want to get into that because that's a lot of detail work. We're doing the overview. And then you descend down from there into the astral body, that place that we go to. You know what your astral body is? It's your best friend. It's your daydream buddy. It's your daydream.
Oh.
It's your visualizing healing tool. It's the body you're in when you're out there amongst all the stars, or you're going back in time. Any time that you're daydreaming, you're in your astral body.
Hmm. I did not realize that. That is so cool. That makes so much sense.
Your astral body is that body that is connected to you in many cultures by that silver cord that leaves your body when you go to sleep. If anybody, the old tales are that if anybody snips the cord, you could lose yourself. That's a bunch of hoo-ha, you know. But it's a good idea to keep conscious of where your astral body is, because
right.
The astral plane is the place where a lot of people feel, and it's quite true, our fears, they all have their special homes on the astral plane.
Mm.
Oh, and yet all of our best dreams and wishes and all the good stuff we do, all of the wonderful tales we create are also resident on the astral plane. So you talk about polarity. This is a place where, you know, anyone who ever does, and the astral plane is that place where when you get a collective group of people who are let's say, allowing of themselves to experience the shared vision together in a group, the astral plane is where they accomplish that task. And I've been part of a couple of different groups that have done that. It's a very special thing. And that's exactly where it takes place, is on the astral plane. And so you always have to sort of be on guard. In fact, you could say that the astral plane is the place where you really polish all your skills of discernment and impeccability and integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And if you think about it, it really is, because don't we play out all of our different little schemes and roles and dreams in daydreaming and in that place where we go out and let it happen in our imagination?
Mm-hmm.
That's the astral.
Sure, that's where the intuition and then having the inner dialogue with yourself happens. You know, when you're talking to yourself, that's what it sounds like. When you're going through what could be, what might be, what did so-and-so mean by that, right? You're having someone else to bounce ideas off of. So really you're talking to your astral self, right? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, yes, but it's also the place that I go to and I find my guides, and I enjoy them and their wisdom and their teachings. I mean, the astral plane is something that I tap into when I'm working with an individual who's come to me looking for a specific blend of flower essences to achieve their goals, or to work on issues that are challenging them. I tap into an astral conversation also, and I allow myself to look, see, and basically it's that astral body that is also being able to look, see into the, what we're going to talk about, the fourth body of consciousness, the etheric body, the first body of consciousness, the etheric body, that is the resonance of all of our issues, everything. That is what is over our whole body. It's our auric field. And it is there in our etheric body of consciousness that all of the little nodules and issues and, you know, stoppages to chi energy flowing into us, which is an emotional issue, are located. And that's how healers work with the etheric body. And they use their astral body to do the work. Am I making sense to you?
Yeah, very interesting. I have a question. So when you're, for instance, making music or something creative, but for some reason, with the music, maybe also because it's a physical thing with singing, but that place that you go to with other people when you're communicating on this musical level, and then you're getting inspiration from, you know, to choose the notes that you're going to play. How would you classify those in the body?
Astral body. I have seen great actors on stage and realized that they've used their astral body to draw down their inspiration. I've also watched great actors channel. Their astral body almost steps aside to allow another body within them. There's a huge change. I saw that with Julie Harris when she was playing on The Belle of Amherst on Broadway. I'm 17 years old, and I was stoned. And I could see, you know, all the auric colors and everything, and side stage is no way to ever see a play. But that's where I was. My buddy was her son. We've been lifelong friends. Went to school together. But here's the thing. I actually saw a shift. It was like a, I don't know how to say this. It was like a gossamer something, you know, that traveled around her like a little vortex, but it was an astral body. And I don't think it was hers. I think hers was like stepping aside and Dickinson was walking into her.
Wow. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about with actors doing that. It's literally like they channel down the essence of the person.
There you go. So channeling.
Wow.
Channeling. And it's because she was a dedicated artist. When I spoke to her at Christmas time, I think it was about 10 years ago, and I was telling her about channeling, and she looked at me, and her eyebrows shot up kind of thing, and she said, absolutely. That's what happened. Is this written down anywhere? Oh, I wish I'd written it, but then. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
It's the astral body that does so much. When you go through an astral initiation, many disciplines, many traditions, especially in Celt or Native American or Indigenous American, you know, I'm not going to go with the PC stuff, Indians on both continents, all continents. The Dreamweave Walkers down there and the Aborigine folk. All of these things that happen as far as spiritual awakening that they call initiation happens through the acclimation of the astral body in conscious harmony with the conscious mind. In other words, my astral body right now could be out doing something, you know, like, okay, you ever been sitting in a class? No, that's bad. Well, no, you took acting classes and stuff. I'm sure you took boring ones, too.
Sure.
You're sitting in a class, and you're someplace else altogether, and you don't even consciously know where you are, but you're just not there.
Totally.
What do you think your astral body's up to?
Shenanigans. I call that shenanigans.
There you go. What's going down, man? So then you have, and then you have that first body of consciousness, which is the etheric. Some folks call it the emotional body of consciousness. It is the place where a good healer, a medical intuitive like Edgar Cayce, someone like Asa, who is a distance healer and life coach and reader who can walk up and see little nodules. It's also where things appear culturally. Now, what I'm going to explain is going to sound a little funny until you listen to it for a minute, but from my point of view, I have learned through study and through working with the plant community, the plant mineral kingdom and the consciousness of the divas and many years of practice this and all of my creative visualization efforts and awakening certain awarenesses within, I have come to the understanding that, yes, there are such things as demons. We create them, you know, and I'll be real clear and quick with this because it doesn't deserve a lot of drama unless it's happening, okay? When I stop in the middle of the day, I'm having a very hard day. I've already broken three bottles. I might have dropped a bottle of, you know, $100 worth of oil or something. I had the dog got away. I had to run and chase him. Almost had a heart attack. I am having a day. Okay. And so something little happens again. The garbage can outside turns over and, everything comes out and I've got to pick it up. So I scream, I cuss, and I damn the garbage can. I damn and anybody who got in my way at that moment caught hell, right? You've seen that kind of thing happen. If you're honest, maybe you've done that kind of thing in your life.
Sure.
But what you've done is you've created this little black ball of energy. It's a nasty little piece of energy. And it's going to sit right there on your shoulder. And you're either going to clear it or you're going to feed it. Am I making sense?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Well, not the ghost of hell, Chris. But, no, we make our own little demons, and there they sit on our shoulder. It's very true. Old tales do have some kind of substance many times. And the angel on your shoulder and the devil on your shoulder, you could look at it that way. But demons are real. Some people allow those things to take them over and to stick with them. And they feed them. You've met people who are just nasty. And they don't have any desire to be anything other than ugly and nasty because things are just that way with them. And sometimes it grows so big and so bad that, and these are special cases, that people will say if you're in the South or you're up in the hills of Dixie or whatever, they might say, well, it's possessed. And in other places, they recognize that you are developing a psychosis that is not only psychopathic, but it's going into other avenues.
Mm-hmm.
In chakras and the description of the chakras. But the point is that we do create these nodules, and those little black nodules are the seeds of dis-ease with our body. They begin to hold up chi flow, life force to our physical body, and we get sick. And the sicker we get in pain. We begin to get into pain, and it just feeds it more because when you're in pain, I don't know about you, but I know me. I can tell you every day that I get up and I might have a problem with my knee or something. I can get real surly. I don't get black nasty, but I get real surly, and I might snap, you know, at the puppy to be quiet, or I might snap at, you know, and it shifts real quick when I realize what I'm doing kind of thing.
Sure, but you recognize the dis-ease. You're coming from a place of dis-ease.
Right.
Of course, we all experience that. Even when you're fighting a cold, you know, maybe you don't know why you feel that way, but you're a little ornery, you're a little annoyed, you're like, oh, I was getting sick. I was doing something else here. Didn't have the energy for this, and I was just getting annoyed because I didn't feel 100%. I think we, you know, in spirit therapy, that's a great thing to be able to look at, you know, like, why is this happening? What is this energy drain? And to look at those nodules that you're talking about. I mean, as you were saying that's what we do, right? Look at your black nodules.
Well, they're not always black. That's why we have chakras. There's chroma. There's color that indicates to us what our issues are lodged in, what kind of psychology developed them. That's what one of the things our chakras tell us. If it's lodged in our solar plexus chakra, then, you know, it could be an awful ugly brown. If it's lodged in our third eye chakra, usually people who have issues that are lodged in their third eye chakra or crown chakra are people who are serial killers, people who have such deep psychosis that, and sometimes just the opposite of that is catatonia. and you know, deep withdrawal from reality. Mm-hmm. You understand? These are all indicative of our different chakras, but all of them reside in what they call the emotional or the etheric body. That's that coating right around our auric field is a way to say it too.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, our light body is this construct of chakras that are filters. They're vortex filters that allow or disallow chi energy through our nadi or nadius light waves, all these thousands and thousands of gossamer threads that come down to us from our highest self or causal body of consciousness, which is plugged in directly to all that is, to that massive conscious love that God, that fuels existence itself. Did I say that well without saying God or goddess or anything like that? I mean,
yeah, absolutely. That was what I was saying in the beginning of where that God, where that consciousness comes from. That, yeah, that makes perfect sense, because I look at it, you know, from this perspective on the third dimensional plane, we see things in lines. So I see me, my physical body, and then a long line that goes all the way up to the one source, whatever that is, the, you know, generator room. And then my causal body, now that you've explained it, is the one that's just below, you know, what the one source is. That's me strain that starts, and the highest form of myself.
That's your plug-in. Yeah, that's your plug-in, your soul. I often think of it as the captain, you know. You know,
yeah.
we lost Nelson Mandela, and Mandela had a favorite poem, but what he said was he was his own master, the captain of his own, you know, his own soul. And that's what I think of the causal light body, is that it is the captain. It houses, you know, everything, every instant of every life. I try to explain to some people, because I think people often think that, you know, oh, it doesn't matter if I'm walking down the street and thinking nothing at all. What's it ever going to matter? It's going to all be gone anyways, type, you know what I mean?
Sure.
And that's not true. Every instant,
right.
Every thought you have, every breath you take is part of a library, a living library of all that is. And it's part of the resource in love that makes the universe flow.
Yeah,
the good stuff, the good stuff, the bad stuff, the indifferent stuff, it's all part of what makes the existence happen. We just figured out, you know, we have multiverse. Did you read where they've put the papers out that also are saying that basically there's a multi-dimensional geometric jewel somewhere below all of the string and energetic vibrations and resonance? And it's like, okay, well, I got to read this more clearly. But many things are breaking right now. Much information is coming out. And basically, you have to remember that there are some basic structures. And that's why we're doing this series, is because the light body is our holistic anatomy. And if we work with it with consciousness, when we're meditating, when we are healing, doing healing work, when we're doing our journey work, if we have a bit of information of the dynamic of our holistic anatomy, then basically we're working with a more connective structure that is more unified to a lot of other people working, and there's strength in that. We get stronger, our talents, our skills grow stronger. And it all melds into when you remember that the astral body is the vehicle in which you perform so much, and it's so important. When you realize that, you also realize that no matter what you've ever thought, it all fits into place. Do I make a sense there?
Yeah, absolutely. Between the when you think of it in every thought you've ever thought or every moment you've ever lived will always be in some semblance in the universe. It will always be. We're the ones that are moving forward in time. The universe doesn't care about that. It just always will be.
Apparently we can move any way in time we wish.
Right.
I mean, that's the physics now. And I have to thank Christine in the chat room for reminding me. Yes, they realize that basically we're living there. The projection is, and I remember Michael, what's his name's book, The Holographic Universe, that we are basically existing within a hologram. Well, yeah, when did that become a big, well, we've been working with the metaphysical end of life, and they've been working with, you know, a science that needs to do all of the empirical studying, and it's looking for tangible qualities to relate back to the rest of the world just to say that it's all metaphysical.
Right. Well said. Yeah, I think the hologram business is really, you know, from our perspective on the third dimension, of course it's a hologram. It is all a hologram. It's our playing ground. This is our fun video game for us to play where we can live out these experiences. And it makes sense to me. It doesn't mean everything is a hologram, but it is from our perspective for sure.
Well, what it tells me is that we do actually live in multiverse, which I've always wondered about, but you know, I can get behind the different dimensions easily because I can tap into different personas that I fulfill in different dimensions. And I do that through using my astral body and being connective to it when, you know, and this is all people find it. I've had somebody tell me one night at an outing, I'll just put it that way, that it's all in your head, Gwen. Well, of course it is, dog. Well, of course it is. And what a wonderful place for it to be. Because everything in this head, well, okay, it comes out on this bench, but everything in this world, every construct in this world, including the molecules and the different building blocks of life that came together on the whatever pieces of media that cohesed in the very beginning of the solar system, we're all in a head somewhere, okay? They basically, you know, even if it was just, you know, the awakening of consciousness, you know, whatever, in whatever form. But I'm trying to get the overview point done because we're already at the end of the show.
I just have a question. When you think of the collective consciousness, where would you place that?
Well, the collective consciousness in its greatest, it has its own light body too. And basically... And you're jumping ahead, man, to like the left.
Oh, sorry.
It's a good question. Collective consciousness is the, I would call it also the consciousness of the planet, Gaia, which is the mental body of the planet. Now, I have to thank Dr. Jose Arguelles for our ways for that in his Earth Ascending. He does a beautiful diagram of it. But here's the thing. The template of the light body for the human is also the template of life for a planet, for a planetary system of a solar system, for a star, ad infinitum. This is the dynamic of life, of existence. We are all connective, and this is the dynamic through which we are connective, a light body. Well, this is this is why the light body is such a BFD.
Sure is.
That you got it good. Listen, I usually get paid good time for this stuff. This is actually the very beginning, except nobody's here to ask me really great questions right in front of me. But this is what we do, what I do with the seminar, My Home and I. And we begin with the overview of what the light body is and how to work with it. And of course, the tools that I represent to work with it are the tools of sensuality. And that's one of the most important things that the human body, the physical body does, is connects us with that light body construct through sensuality. We transcend the physical senses into the subtle senses. You know, we hear clairvoyantly, we see clairvoyantly. You follow where I'm going, but I hope this overview, and I really do mean it when I put it out there that people can call in, because questions are important. You've been asking some good ones. Do you have any more?
Yeah, I mean, I have a lot. I know we have we have 3 minutes.
Oh God. Well, so this was the overview, and I'll go through it really quickly here. There are four bodies of consciousness: the causal, the mental, the etheric. The astral, and the etheric. And they're all connected through nadi or nadius, light waves, these gossamer threads that connect us. Very important to the acupuncture and Chinese medicine. If you look all of these things up, you'll find it in ancient Ayurvedic texts. This is all stuff that is written by the ancients and known for millennia. This is all mystery school teaching. It's not anything I came up with. This is thousands of years old information. It's just dusted off a little bit. And I will actually credit Dr. Richard Gerber for a lot of my information on it, although I've read it in different places in Ayurvedic medicine. It's Deepak Chopra's explanation of the light body also. I mean, this is standard information. Hello?
Nice. Yeah, it's great. I mean, yeah.
We actually have 32 minutes left. I don't know how we got that.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't know if you were interested in going. I'm really into it.
Okay, well, yeah, sure, that's fine. And that's fine. Okay, so basically this is all information that several different ancient cultures have, from the Eastern to even the Western, as far as Nordic cultures, and we have all worked with these constructs in one form or another. The language may have been different, but the four bodies of consciousness, the connective quality of life force through the nadi or the chi flow into the body through meridians. Well, it also is very, if you take a look at it, it resembles very closely the human anatomy. It's just a ghost of human anatomy, or, now that's a bad word, not ghost, but a different dimension.
Well, Holy Ghost, in a way.
It's different dimensional aspects. So we have that plug-in, and our causal body reaches into us, you know, more often than we think. But the point is that, and this is where we're at here, all of these bodies of consciousness connective, and then down into the first body of consciousness, the etheric body, which is really like a living library of your life. You know, it's like a living library of your life. Okay,
it sounds like that's what we tap into when we have that life review, when you have those near-death experiences or death experience.
I would say that's true. It's actually the bag you pack when you get into the astral body, which is where you realize, oh, I'm not in the physical body. And it's that astral body all of a sudden you really consciously pop into. And the baggage you've got with you is your etheric body, all that information, and whoever else you run into. Danny and Brinkley is a good one for that, you know?
Yeah.
We do have a caller, so I'm gonna open that up to caller. Okay, hello, caller.
Hi, Glenn. It's Christine.
Hi, Christine. Do you have a question?
No, I don't really have a question. I mean, I know a lot about the subject. I mean, I have real experience with all that you've talked about. I have a very long history of being educated formally with one person who's passed away now. And I'm just here as a validation that everything that you say is true, okay?
Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you.
No, and I want you to know that your medicine, the stuff that I got from you and everything, you know, I told you, you know, with the vulture medicine thing that you made for me and the easing through stuff that you gave to me. I mean, everything's more than wonderful, so.
Oh, I'm really glad to hear that. Thank you. That's what I do for you. I'm glad it's working out for you. That's really great. A vulture, that's part of our animal medicine meditations series over on the website at daughtersofisis.com. We do animal medicine meditations, and it's a flower essence formula with the oil blend. Or you can get it in a mist, if that's the way you would like to have it. But people like to work with different modalities, you know?
Her medicine really is great, isn't it?
No, it's what I asked for. It's what I asked for, and it's even, I told you on Facebook today, you know, the vultures were there to meet me this morning, and my thoughts, and my thoughts on the way to work were, you know, there's rainbows in the sky that you can't see, but the vultures do see it, because I told you before that I had, you know, the vision through the vultures' eyes of them catching the rainbows, and that's what they're flying on. They're flying because they can see where it is.
Wow. That makes a lot of sense. That's really interesting.
No, and the rainbow and everything that the rainbow means and the vulture is, it's like so freaking awesome. You know what I'm saying? And they were all flying, and they were flying in a vortex. There was more of them that came as I parked my car, because my car's half filled with some junk that I need to bring to the first place when I'm moving. And they were there, and they were doing their vortex thing. It wasn't as many as I saw the first time I saw the vortex, but they were about right straight above me. It was so wonderful. And I was like, there is rainbows. You can't see them. You can't see them all the time, but there is rainbows at all times in the sky, all times.
Do you think that could be the way that the vultures see, like, where the death is? Do you think it's all a smell
through the vultures' eyes, they showed me that what they do is they ride the rainbows. They ride the rainbows in the thermals. They look for the rainbow, and in their eye, they see it, and they take it, and they ride the next rainbow. It's really fucking cool, okay? Excuse my French.
Okay. Well, great. I really appreciate you calling in. But you don't have a question about the
No, because I've gone through many years of all that, and all I wanted to say is that I validate what you're saying, and I've had the experiences, and, you know, I've a treatise on cosmic fire, Ellis Bailey, which I mentioned in the chat room, you know, a treatise on white magic. I have all those books. I've had them for a very long time. So I'm just saying that I'm just showing my support, you know, by just calling in and saying I believe in what you're doing. I don't want to take over. I don't want to tell anybody. Well, you don't know what, and so I don't want to do anything like that. I just want to say I'm giving you my support. I understand what you're doing, and I think it's the truth.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I know I'll see you at Yule. So I will talk to you a little bit later and get back to the overview thing here. Cool? Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Bye.
Okay. I'm just going to push
on. Bye, Christine.
Thank you for calling in, Christine.
Cool. Interesting.
Yeah, Christine's her strongest totem is, and to me, Vulture is gatekeeper. And talking about writing rainbows, they see in spectrums of light that we do not. And looking through it's very interesting what Christine is saying, because she's seeing through the vision of the Vulture, then she is sort of like Beastmaster, isn't it? Remember that?
Very. Very.
Because he used to
really
see
cool.
the eyes of his falcon or his hawk. And really, they do see in different spectrums of light. So I don't doubt for a minute what she's saying about them seeing rainbows and being attracted and guided by rainbows in the sky. That makes every bit of sense when you sit and think about it.
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool. I think this is something that, you know, I'm so thankful for this light body conversation because, and again, Babylon has to chime in. Can you hear the sirens? Because I think this is the way that we need to be thinking more often. You know, it's like the world around us works on this cycle, like you said earlier, about the time, and that we're on a different time than the real time. There's also this energy that we can flow with, and so learning about the light body, like your teaching, is so helpful for us to see at least a little bit more like the rainbows of the Vulture. I mean, it'd be pretty cool. It's very exciting. Go on, Gwen.
Well, one of the things that is very important when you begin to work with healing or journey work is, It's some people are just naturally gifted. More often, people are naturally attracted and drawn but don't know where to begin. And knowing the construction or the dynamic that you can make use of to do all of these things, to heal, to do journey work, to understand how your life force comes into your body and how it works or interacts with how your physical body is feeling. These are important things, and this is the kind of energy work and actually medicine that we should be looking at right now. Because if we know how it's happening, we stand a much better chance of healing ourselves. And really, I think the biggest, the biggest prescription for healing that I know of is, and the etheric body will bear me out in this, is forgiveness. Because almost every issue that we have is tied up in some experience where the necessity for, you know, recognizing it, owning it, embracing means forgiving. Do you follow where I'm coming from? And they're stuck in different parts of, we learn what the issues, the clues to the issues, and those nodules that are stuck in our nadi, feeding the life force into our body. The clues are in the color, which is what chakra they're in, and, you know, all of this different construct that we learn about, and therefore it makes it easier for you to be a better healer with someone and you to work on your own issues yourself. Does that make sense?
Yeah, because what is forgiveness really? It's an allowing. It's an allowing for people to do what they do, for you to do what you do. So the allowing allows the energy to flow so that you can move past it. And that's what this time is really all about, isn't it? About moving quicker and easier through everything, allowing everything to pass, allowing all the energy to be. And the stuckness is where we get those nodules, right?
It's about releasing, too. It's about letting go. It's about, you know, and I know, listen, let's talk one you and I are familiar with, okay? How many money nodules do you think I got going?
And I'm sure millions of people can relate to that. I mean, come on. This whole world has been stuck on a nodule, so we're all releasing our nodules.
Well, and there's so many different ways of approaching it, so many different tools to use, but all those tools that we use are actually sieved through another body of consciousness, our mental body, if we're really lucky and we get to really thinking about things and we've got some real honesty going on and we're not avoiding whatever essential truth we can't handle. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we really do. These are the parts of the life body experience that are necessary. Now, I know that love for Asa to come on with us sometimes because he will say, you know, to forgive, especially yourself, you might not have to go through the trauma of, you know, embracing whatever the emotional issue is. And going through that, you know, so much, it's really, this is what psychologists, psychiatrists, therapists, this is what they're all about. They're about, you know, diving into the issue and coming up with why, and then forgiving and releasing and moving forward with life. Isn't that a basic therapy?
Yeah, definitely. I agree with what Ace is saying. To move it along a little quicker, yeah, you can delve in if you really want to. But you can also, that forgiveness is a blanket. When you just say, listen, I did the best that I could do with the knowledge that I had at the time. That's it. That's it. Everybody's doing their best. Everyone is drawing from all of these bodies that you're speaking of to the best of their ability at all times. And the more we move forward and we go, oh, if I had only known that 4 months ago, well, you weren't in that place 4 months ago. Be happy that you've gotten to this place where you can see this perspective only 4 months later. That's nothing.
Well,
so
here's the thing, Nick. If you're working with a working knowledge of your light body and your chakra system, you might have the tools to go in and better develop your awareness of what that actual issue might be. And to discover and go, oh, it's like I could have had a V8. You might go, oh, my God, there's that moment. It can be traumatic. It's like your Kundalini awakening. When a Kundalini really, truly awakens into your consciousness, it can play bloody hell and marry havoc with your emotional life because it'll bring to clarity a lot of issues that were undealt with and that developed behavior patterns that have kept you in a certain, you know, running in circles. Do you follow where I'm coming from?
Yep, absolutely.
So good health is good health, mental, emotional, and spiritual. There are tools and there are tools. And we, as the metaphysical outlaws, we work with the light body. And as I was going to say before, Asa says, you know, and he's really good at saying this, you can be aware, okay, there's a nodule there. I know what color it is. I know where it's connective to. It's connective to my throat chakra. So there's an issue there, and I can work on that with creative visualization techniques and use some tools to help bring that to the surface of my consciousness and let it go. Or I can acknowledge it's there and allow it to dissolve itself and move forward. That's what you were talking about, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Okay, that's really true. People are doing that. People are doing that. I've always, as the healer, I've always chosen, you know, the hard way. I got to see it. I got to see it. I got to know it. And I have, goodness knows, I haven't seen them all. I don't know them all, but I do know, I did face some of the biggies. And they turned in to some of my best gifts. And you know this, I've shared this with you too, you know? I mean, I was sitting doing this same spiel over in Denmark once, and a young lady was, you know, looking at me like, oh, wow, you really know. And I'm like, oh, gosh, don't do that. yeah, and that makes me nervous. But she said, you know, you're such a gifted storyteller. And I said, well, sweetheart, that's because I'll sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. And she's like, what do you mean? I said, well, my big issue, the beast I had to, you know, we'll talk in terms, witchy terms here. Wolfsbane, you know, that cures the beast. Well, what is the beast within you? Okay, the beast within me was when I was young, I was a fabulous liar. Well, I thought I was, anyway. But the point is that I came to a crisis, and I had to learn about that when I was very young. And so this became an issue. This is an emotional issue that I had to face. I had to go in and meet it. This is the mystery school journey. This is the Elysium mystery. This is where you go journeying into the darkness of your own soul as a shaman. And you look and you see the beast within yourself, the evil, the ugly, the nasty. What are you afraid of? Ooh, I'm afraid of getting found out. Ooh, that's who I am. Now these are the issues that are huge nodules that are caught up in the nadi in some chakra, in my throat chakra. But when I used a few tools and studied some cultural stories and became initiate to it, and I decided I had to go in and find out, I discovered what my issue was, and I embraced it. When I fully embraced it, I began to come out and I wrote a catalog. I wrote different stories in cult and Native American cultural, you know, to express the different tools I had made through scent or flower essence. And I wrote about that. And I did it pretty well because I was a storyteller. I am a storyteller. That's my gift.
It sounds like those two sides in the ethereal, the one that's pretty close. The astral. It was the astral where you have the both sides of everything, and so making peace with the dark side allowed you that you wrote a catalog. I mean, I've seen this catalog. It's like the Library of Alexandria of flower essence work, really. I mean, you won't say that, but I'll say that, Ben. Really, let's call you what you are. So when you make peace with that piece of you're the storyteller, and then you can also be the liar. Those are the two sides of the coin. So when you look at yourself on all those sides, then you really can work with all sides of yourself because we are all sides.
We develop our integrity. What is our integrity?
Right. I mean, whole.
Do you know that even when I tell a white lie to the, you know, guys over at the power company now, it hurts me deeply. It really hurts me deeply. And I go through, see, I haven't completely cleared it because if I do lie, I'm like, oh, God, what did I do? I shame myself. You know, it's like, how you're going to act. This is what I'm talking about. I knew how to go within. I learned about it because I learned about what my light body was. And I used different cultures to help me find my way in, too. This is part of it also. But there is this overview, and there is this structure. And we do have these chakras, these vortexes that help us and filter the energy, the life force energy coming into us. And we can use them. And the more we know about it, the more we have information on what it is and how it exists, we can take our cultural traditions and apply it to that and work with it and come up with healing tools. There are people out there that are going to always come up. I mean, they're going to come up with healing ways and healing journeys that you just can't believe. They're so freaking fabulous. You wouldn't even believe. And you know what? What they do, they write things like, what was it? The insights, you know, that Redfield wrote. That was part of his journey work and healing himself. You know, the 10 insights. What was that? What was the name of that book? Come on!
Oh, I don't know the answer to this question. I'm so sorry.
I wish they'd do something on the menopausal side of this, but anyway, my point is... my point very seriously is that we can heal ourselves and we can help our friends and family heal themselves when we share the information we have, the insights that we get. And knowing how to work, creative visualization is the large tool that we work with. I'm glad we had the extra time tonight because it's important for folks to understand, how does a healer work? Well, they visualize. They creatively visualize. And by that, I mean, you know, can you imagine? I love what Walt Disney said. He said imagineering. You know? It's as simple as that. You know, when we imagine things, when we create on the astral like that, it's there, and we're responsible for it. It's always going to be there. You know, always, 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 always. And now that go ahead.
The tapping into that healing, that's what I know about the light body is the healing work and the visualization work. That was what my schooling was about. And so that's definitely a worthwhile place to go. I hope that maybe next time we can go into the how to work with the light body and the healing.
Well, yeah, it one of the things that is, and especially in talking this out and the overview here, I'm trying to give people the idea in their mind's eye. In your mind's eye, you should be aware that you are so much more than just this person, and it's you know, this human body or the astral vehicle. You are essence of life that is able to form into that astral vehicle, who is able to form into a physical, tangible, third dimensional body. That's what we are. But what we are ultimately is energy and light. And it's called, I call it consciousness. It's who we are. And if we could, can you imagine right now if you could download every who you are you have been?
Awesome.
I'd be like a computer with the wheels spinning and the spark flying and everything going. And it kills me that some folks are like, you know, well, I'm King Patrick, you know. It's like, Jesus, if I could tap into what I'm doing, I am. I'm doing good. The whole Megillah. But perhaps we're meant to tap into the whole Megillah this time, right?
That sure seems like what it looks like.
If we don't get into shape on all levels with our light body fully intact, we aren't going to be able to do it, are we?
No, that's the vast majority, it seems, to be able to do it with thought and with energy and with visualization and focus and intention instead of having to run around all the place. I mean, that's a lower form, this mass, having to move things physically around. When you look at it from the higher levels, you're like, oh, that just seems like so much work. So, yeah, to speed ourselves up, but when I say speed ourselves up, I work with this word a lot. You know, being an Aries, I'm a little impatient. You know, I'm like, speed it up. I want to go faster. But it's really about faster.
You're impulsive. That's an Aries trait, impulsive.
Yes, definitely impulsive. And but I think we all have this feeling, especially when we've been learning to work with things with our mind and the light body. The faster is really about being able to work with it easier, to work with more of it easier.
Before we go off the air, the reason it's important to understand the overall construction or some form of one, I think, is because it will make it easier and faster in the long run. When we still had the shop open, New Leaf used to send a gift or two in every box they would send. They were great that way when they started out. I don't know if they still do it. They sent me a videotape once, and I was just beginning to work with oils, and I knew about creative visualization, but I wasn't working with my chakras. I was only, you know, putting light into the bottles and thinking about the archetype or the energy form. And I had no construct going on really well. But they sent me this videotape of Shirley MacLaine's chakra workout, which used, you know, the magic of television and the movies to actually create a visualization of the different colors of the chakras and how they emanated and how to work with them. And I began working that way in a very real sense, Mac gave me my leg up into what I do and how I work. And you just never know where it's going to come from. But it was a construct. It was information. It was a learning curve. And we all need these, you know, that's how you do it, is with the building blocks. So knowing what your own anatomy and building blocks are is how it gets quicker, straight. You wouldn't believe how fast I got. I got so fast after that. It would take me time, lots of time, to do what I do now, just doing it because I know how to make the flow go and what are the right. Because you'll feel, if you aren't doing it with the most efficient way, you feel blockage, you feel sluggish with energy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel it. So understanding and knowing is really important, and that's why I wanted to do this series. Plus, it is the seminars I do, and I thought, well, I think a lot of people have always found it interesting and helpful. And one day I'm going to meet this British woman somewhere, and her and I are going to have a conversation.
Great.
I want to thank
really you is.
For listening in tonight. I'm going to be posting this show uncharacteristically. I even the great ones I seem to forget about, but I know that this useful and helpful to folks, and I hope everybody who listened got something from it. I'm very serious about calling in folks too. So, Nick, do you have any, please listen to Spirit Therapy on Mondays at 7 p.m. right here on Here Be Monsters. Good night, Nick. We're right there at the end.
Awesome. Great. Thank you so much. Looking forward to the next round of Light Body. And practice makes perfect, doesn't it? Practice makes perfect. Practice with your Light Body.
It does. Okie doke. So we'll begin with chakras. Next time around, including
cool.
including the Earth Chakra. So everybody, this has been The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwendolyn H. Berry, and we will see you next week. That was it, Nick. We went.
Cool. Oh, I was waiting for a song. All right, cool.
And to the gentleman on the phone, thank you for listening in. You're going to actually get cut off now because we're going to shut the show down. And thanks for listening in.
Good night, David. Bye.
Good night.